We have a huge surprise for you on Chapter 110 of our podcast.
This week, we travel to Le Château Castelnau in La Dordogne, which houses the medieval war museum.
And we run through a list of the happiest countries in the world. This is Jeff and Julie moved to France during a global pandemic.
Big day for you today, huh?
I'm still sweating. I am still sweating. We had an early morning wood delivery.
Mm-hmm. Lumber.
Mm-hmm. Some of it was lumber, and then some of it was a big panel that someone has dictated to me I must build a kitchen out of.
So you've got two projects.
Yes.
You know, on the books. The first one, I think, is you're going to build a custom door.
Well, you would know because you're the project manager.
Yeah, the supervisor.
Yeah.
A custom door for an area where we built a shower for the dogs, which has been so useful this past winter because it rained a ton. So
yeah.
It was really muddy.
And it's just this, it's really a utility kind of closet, of course, built out of, you know, medieval stone, which is the cool thing about it.
Yeah.
And it has plumbing. And actually, it's kind of where the water comes in for the entire property. As a result, we have old washers and dryers in there that we use for dog towels and that kind of thing.
And dirty jeans.
And rags and stuff like that. And you took it upon yourself to clean it up a little bit. But one of the problems is the old door no longer works. And I don't know who built this thing, but I think they did it with a blindfold on.
It wasn't the prettiest thing in the world. And it didn't even have a use. Like we couldn't use it.
Couldn't close it. Bought some wood for that, and I think I'm going to start with the door, if that's okay.
I think that's a good idea, and then I can continue my cleaning up project.
Yeah, because if we leave it, because the birds go in there, and they crap all over the place, and so if we get the door, sooner we get the door on, the cleaner it'll be.
Exactly.
But yeah, it was quite the delivery today. This panel of oak veneer for the club, for the island in the
summer kitchen
is so, it's really large and very heavy. It's particle board.
Yeah.
Anybody knows particle board is very heavy. So the driver was kind enough to get it up on the mezzanine level with me. And
wow. Well, that's project number two.
Yeah, that's right. The second project.
Yeah. So that's going to be a custom built island that will be in the summer kitchen, which will be great because then when I'm doing my work, you know, slicing and dicing and preparing.
Sit because there's going to be room stools, mm-hmm. so I can sit there and watch while drinking beer.
You can watch me work.
That's right.
And I can look at the view and your head.
You know what? That is what I call a win-win. Yeah, so we got all that. I'm still sweating. I can't believe it. Holy crap. That was heavy.
Well, it's a good workout for tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow. Yes. So here's the little baseball update. We just got news that I can practice tomorrow without having a medical.
Right. Well, you know, we on the last podcast, we talked about having to fill out the myriad of forms, which we did.
We did properly.
Did properly.
Jeremy sent a note back saying, hey, all good. But and then he said, now he still hasn't seen me play, so he may regret saying this. But he said, but you still need your medical for our matches, our games, you know, traveling all over France.
But did he notice your birth date?
Be quiet about that. That's not a very nice thing to say.
You know what that is?
That's ageist right there. Yeah.
Well, I'm being realistic, but you're still fit, right? No, you're fit. You can play. You can run. You can pitch. You can catch.
I just hoisted that board up there into the mezzanine level, so watch out. Yeah, no, here's the thing. I don't think that of all my skills, I think that the catching part is the one that still remains solid. I think I could still catch an 80 to 90 mile an hour fastball. I don't think I'm going to have a problem with that. Throwing is going to be a whole different ballgame, and running. So those two things, you know, I think hitting and catching, I'll be okay.
Yeah,
I really
good.
Do. But you know what? You lose your strength over the years, and you really have to keep up the arm. So I don't know. We'll see about getting it to second base. Might take a couple of hops, but it'll get there.
But it was so sweet. You know, you were bringing all of your stuff out of the barn.
Yeah.
Cleaning it all up. It's been there for what? 3.5 years?
Yeah, pretty much 4 years.
Cleaning up all your equipment, your little mask and your little...
Stop saying little. Just stop saying... Okay, yeah, they are junior shin pads. Okay.
Your little pads.
Yeah, my shin pads are junior shin pads.
And you found all the necessary equipment to cover your bits, and that was key.
Yeah, I did pack my can. You know, it's amazing the things. There you are, sitting in Canada, moving to France. Yeah, better pack the can. Better pack the old nut protector. You never know. And sure enough, boom, there it is.
Yeah.
Jock strap in hand, ready to go.
Yeah, but you've got a grin like ear to ear. You're just so jazzed about this.
I don't know if I'll have a grin ear to ear after the practice while I'm in the Agen Hospital, but.
So it's tomorrow morning, right?
Tomorrow morning. 10:45. Great. Be there early to help set up the batting cage.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So that makes you happy.
Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be good. Even if I can, you know, just catch some balls and, you know, just get the arm. I hope it isn't one of these really serious things where you're doing a bunch of calisthenics. Yeah, just get the balls out. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, the president and/slash coach was saying that he wrote in the note that the players are really passionate about the sport.
So, and I wonder why he wanted me to know that. Like, did he think that I'm just joking around?
No. Well, I think that he probably saw, you know, the length to which you went in order to reach the club.
Okay.
In order to you know, make contact, and
And then he asked for some profile photos.
Yeah.
So I dug back and I found a shot of me and my catcher stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll put that on the Facebook page.
I think you should.
For this week's, we have a lot of photos at Jeff and Julie Moved to France. But yeah, maybe I'll throw that on there just for fun.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, and he sent a thumbs up.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know what? This new report came out, it happens every year, where they list the happiest countries in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And France, unfortunately, is not a very happy country.
You know what? And can I just weigh in just quickly?
Sure.
It's really unfortunate because this country, of all the countries in the world, should be happy. It really should, but I understand why it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But from the point of view, like, even okay, here's the funny thing. We do have a beautiful view at our place, okay? So today, the truck driver who came and dropped off the wood.
Yes.
Like, honestly, 10 minutes ago, he gets out of his truck and he looks around and he goes, ooh, magnifique. So it's not even lost on French people, the
right.
view and the gorgeous countryside here in France. So it should be a happy country. But because of all of the ridiculous administration, and it's not just on foreigners, French people, they say the same thing, that it's debilitating.
Yeah, it's hard to start a company. It's difficult to be an entrepreneur.
It's just difficult to make money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the taxation is, you know,
punitive.
Very, yeah. You have to really be working very hard to make ends meet. So France landed out of the top 30.
Out of the top 30?
Well, no. Out of the top 30, 27th.
Oh, but still, 27.
27.
Should be way higher than that.
Yeah. So Finland is number one.
Okay.
Unfortunately, there was a very tragic incident that happened in Finland this week. There was a school shooting and a death. Now, that does not happen. It's super rare that happens in Finland. I don't think it takes away from it being a phenomenally happy country.
Well, you know, I hope there isn't one American on the planet who's going, see, it happens there too, because I just did a little, when I read that this had happened, I did a little research on mass shootings in America.
Yeah.
What do you think over the last 4 years? And so a mass shooting is described as one or more people actively trying to kill people in a populated area. Mass killing is three or more at a time. Okay,
that perish.
Yeah, that's a mass killing. A mass shooting is the first definition. How many mass shootings on average do you think occurred in the United States over the last 4 years? On average.
Okay, so there's probably one a week, so 52 times four, so...
No, not times four, on average of those 4 years.
Oh, on average. Okay, I would say, let's say 60.
60, yeah. Times that by 10.
What?
There are roughly 670 mass shootings in the United States on average over the last 4 years.
Okay, that's a problem.
That's a huge problem. Huh. And that would explain why I have no interest in going to that country. It's ridiculous. And
there's a lot of things that are, a little wonky right now in the U.S. of A. You know.
By the way, where does the U.S. End up on this happiest countries in the world?
Okay, so it dropped. It dropped to 23.
It's still, 23.
Yeah, it was higher. I don't know how many places
that?
It dropped, but...
With all the stuff going on in the United States, and it still ranks higher than France.
Yeah, but so Canada dropped too. So Finland is number one. Let me just go through the top 10, okay?
Okay.
Finland, Denmark, Iceland, Sweden, Israel, Netherlands, Norway, Luxembourg, Switzerland, and Australia.
Yeah, I don't think Israel is going to be there next year.
Well, this was obviously taken. Yeah. It's a Gallup poll. That's where they got most of their data. It was taken before the October 7th.
October 7th, yeah.
Okay. But notice how many of these countries are European.
And have snow.
Yes. So the way that they describe the happiness is the sense of community, the ability to be in nature, the ability to do sports, to have a healthy mind, to have a healthy body.
You're giving sort of the criteria of this.
Yes, you know, they didn't necessarily go by the GDP or
right.
It was more how people felt, and I think that in Finland they're very active. I mean, they've got like how many saunas? I think 3 million saunas.
Yeah, but that doesn't explain France. France has every opportunity in the world to be active.
But you have to have confidence in your government, confidence in community. I just don't know that there's the same sense of. Mm-hmm. Unity in France as there is in the rest. But, you know, it was very interesting. It was the seventh year in a row that Finland finished top country.
Finished!
Ah, it's so funny! But, yeah, Northern Europe is a very happy, area. So I think we should plan on
heading up there?
And grabbing a little happiness.
Oh, go up there for a couple of days of happiness?
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Where did our dear Canada finish in this?
Canada finished 15th.
And it was down.
I think it was 13 last year.
Well, and, you know, again, we go to the taxation and how difficult it is. And, you know, you can view the carbon tax stuff as you wish. But I'm telling you, it's tough to make ends meet in Canada. It really is. And the taxation is through the roof.
Yes, but it's easier as a business person in
Canada
a little
bit.
Versus France.
It depends. It depends what business you're in. Like these punitive carbon taxes are killing a lot of,
there's a lot of talk about
trucking and any of those type of businesses. They're really taking it on the chin right now.
Yes.
So.
In particular to Canada and U.S., when they took a range of ages, the under 30s ranked the countries way lower.
Yeah, well.
Way lower.
Well, in Canada, for instance, if you're under 30, forget about buying a house in Ontario, let's just say. And I don't know, and probably BC. Quebec's not bad. I don't know. Housing in Canada, and it shouldn't be this crazy. It just shouldn't be this crazy. But, it's very difficult for young couples or young singles to own a home as we did when we were growing up.
That's true.
It's just almost impossible.
Really,
and that's really discouraging, because if you've got a job, that is your goal. I mean, it certainly was my goal, ownership of a house.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, you were brought up to think that that's your security.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that's concrete, that you will be able to, that will grow in value, hopefully, and that you will be able to keep as a valuable asset until you decide to downsize. So it is much more difficult. Southwest France, where we are, has a pretty good ranking for happiness, and specifically in our demographic.
Oh, you've got it broken down in terms of which part of France?
It was a separate article.
Oh, okay.
But they were saying those that are over 50 that live in Southwest France and have no children rank the highest in terms of their happiness.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, that makes sense. We just have to get a few things solved here over the next little while to put us into that category.
But,
if this solar project gets ixnayed, that's going to make a big difference.
It will make all the difference,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
yeah. And, you know, we are very active. We've got a forest right behind us, which, you know, it's great. We go walking almost every day.
And here's the thing. If you took that part out of the equation, it's a wonderful place, as evidenced by today, and we're going to get to it. I mean, we just have such a cool thing to tell you about here as we move forward in the podcast. And it's stuff like that that's everywhere here, and it's not lost on me. I just find it absolutely amazing, the history that's around here, the things to see, mm-hmm. the beauty. And for me, without negative distractions like the solar field, I'm really going to jump into this. You know, I just love it. I really
do. Well, you know, medieval times.
I know.
Canada's so young. Mm-hmm. We're gobsmacked when we see these chateaus that are massive and were built in the 12th century. You know, it's like, it's crazy. And this particular one is on the Dordogne River and is perfectly positioned, Chateau Castelnau.
And we will get to that after this.
Time now for another Paris 2024 Olympic update.
So landlords are being a little naughty in Paris. There are multiple articles about landlords breaking their tenants' leases so that they can rent out their apartment or their dwelling to the tourists that are coming for the Olympics.
I'm of two minds on this thing. And one of them relates back to the happiest or unhappiest countries of the world. And one of the reasons that France is not happy is it's very difficult to make money. We just talked about that. Mm-hmm. So I think France has itself to blame. The government has itself to blame for people, landlords, wanting to do this. Although, don't get me wrong, I'm not a big fan of landlords. We've had many issues, especially on the commercial side
of things,
with really greedy landlords.
Yeah.
And by the way, we loved when 2020 came along and from that point of view. Oh, really? You're trying to rent your place? Oh, too bad. But in the case of Paris, it's understandable that it's so difficult to make money here in this country that they're going, all right, we have a little window of opportunity here. Let's take a run at it.
Yeah, but it's illegal, actually.
I know. I get that. Yeah, no,
it's illegal to terminate your lease.
Yeah.
To terminate your tenant's lease, unless you are selling your property or intending on living in it yourself.
So there's a loophole right there.
So that's the problem. The landlord will terminate the lease with one of those two reasons and let time go by, and then relist the apartment on one of those tourist platforms.
Right.
So, you know, and it's a problem because there's very little accommodation. Like there's not a lot of apartments that are available. Yet there are, I think it's 800,000 places, whether it's an apartment or a home, that are listed on these tourist websites.
Oh, okay.
So I think there needs to be a little bit more oversight to make sure that the landlord is actually telling the truth for the mm-hmm. reasons that they're terminating the lease.
We did read earlier, remember, this was probably back in October, I think, in one of the podcasts, we mentioned that people who are just giving up their homes as Airbnbs mm-hmm. and aren't registered as an Airbnb
yep.
are going to be prosecuted. But I mean, how are they going to do that? That's going to be a nightmare to try and do that, to try and take these people to court.
It's going to be difficult to police for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll see what happens. I mean, I think a lot of people are going to get hosed through the course of the Olympics. But you know what? It's sort of a buyer beware, supply and demand kind of a situation.
Yeah.
And if you really want to be at the Olympics and you've got all the dollars in the world, there will be a nice place waiting for you.
I was watching on the news, you know, there's the solar eclipse happening in the U.S.
Yeah.
That's happening on Monday.
Right.
And they've got the route mapped out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were quoting prices of motels and hotels that are in that line for people to potentially see the solar eclipse. And, you know, like a Super 8 or, you know, a Days Inn, which is probably, $89 a night, is like $600, $700, $800.
Come on.
Yeah. And you could be renting that room. And if it's cloudy, you're not going to see the eclipse.
Oh, they don't have a cloudy rate?
No, they don't.
Well, and it looks like there are storms moving into that area. So if you've paid $600 for a Days Inn motel room, hey, you're an idiot. That's all I can say. So that you can look up at the sky and watch one planet go in front of another planet. I don't know. Is it supposed to get dark for those 4 or 5 minutes?
Like, yeah.
Really dark?
Yeah. And you have to wear like special goggles, special things. And anyway, we were in a bit of weather on Wednesday when we took our day trip.
Yeah, it was. But you know what? It was. I was so surprised by this because we had thought we'd been here before.
I thought we had been here. I'm going to say we were in France on a vacation in 2016.
No, probably before, 2013, something like that.
2013.
Yeah.
And we stayed in the Dordogne area, and we did visit a chateau, but there are so many chateaus. We probably went to a different one because I didn't recognize Le Château Castelnau. I didn't. And the war museum has been there since 1985, and we've never been to a war museum. So, it wasn't the same one.
Just high praise for whoever decided to turn the chateau into the medieval war museum, because it is just so well appointed, so well organized, and it's so appropriate. I mean, it's just fantastic. You go in, and first of all, they've done a renovation. Maybe you could start by talking about the renovation that's brand new to the...
Yeah, last year.
Yeah.
So they started renovating the chateau in 1965. It is a privately owned chateau. A family owns it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And so they decided to take over one of the restaurants that's just at the gates of the chateau and turn it into a gift shop and a restaurant. And we decided to have lunch before going to make our visit.
Yeah. Now, the only drawback, it was a little chilly. We'll get to that. But and it's only outside, right? Boy, is that ever laid out beautifully for the summer, though.
Oh, they're going to be hopping.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they opened the restaurant like 3 days before we got there.
Yeah. And we were the only ones there.
It was the first opening day, inaugural week. And so we had a really good time there. And then we took a walk. We paid for our tickets. And you can buy tickets for both Château Castelnau and the suspended Jardin Marquesac.
Oh, we've been there.
We were there. So,
yes.
So, but if you buy both, you get a discounted rate. And if you're vacationing in La Dordogne, why not?
Why not do that?
Two spectacular things to visit.
You know what? I look at these admission fees as just something that is a pleasure to pay for. When you see the work that's gone into this beautiful, beautiful chateau, and at one point this was dilapidated. At one point this was in...
It was used as a rock quarry.
Yeah, it was in really rough shape. So, you know what? $25 for two people, euros, to go around and just see the sights. They had beautiful, really beautiful animated videos showing the various iterations of this castle over the many years. That was that was really cool to see.
In both French and English.
In both French and English. And then they had all these rooms and there were crossbows. I took a boatload of photos because everything was so beautifully showcased in this amazing chateau that you'll be able to see some of the weaponry that was used back then and over the and you can actually see how things like they have what are those things that fling
catapults.
They have various catapults set up there that are working catapults. They show how those worked and operated, and they are functional and it's really cool.
They had an old cannon.
Yeah, they had a couple of cannons, and I took I always think, okay, who has to make these cannonballs? These cannonballs are out of like granite. I took a picture of, there was a group of four of them. First of all, I didn't even know how you get the cannonballs in the cannon. They're so heavy.
I think it took several people.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they had to put it on some form of like a wooden structure and then lift it
into the thing. And I think you could take one shot an hour or something like that of a cannon.
And I think the most efficient had a cannonball that could go 90 kilometers an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then they had little, like, machine gun type things. Really incredible and something very worthwhile to check out. I mean, the Dordogne, first of all, is just so much to see. But now here's, mark this down, the Medieval War Museum and Josephine Baker's place, they're right around the corner from one another.
Across the river.
Right across the river. So this is a very good area for you to check out.
Yes, from the Chateau Cassonneau, you can see Josephine Baker's chateau. Mm-hmm. You can also see the Chateau Baynac. But, you know, there are chateaus strewn all over Dordogne.
And the river itself is just gorgeous, you know, the Roman bridges. And, oh, it's really incredible.
Yeah, yeah. So you have to be fit because if you're going to be doing the staircase, there are quite a few steps.
Yeah, and it's funny, they allow you to go up the original stairs, they don't allow you to come down because they were, first of all, the rise on the stairs, I've got to say about a foot, and then the actual tread of the stair is about 5 inches. So it's dicey. So you've got to be very careful.
Oh, so I thought they did that so that you didn't have people crossing in the staircase, that it was just a one-way flow. Right? Because if in busy season, if you had people going up and people coming down on the same, that would
makes
be
sense
really
too.
Dicey.
That makes sense too. But if you noticed, when we were coming down, they were, a lot of it was wooden stairs, which they had built.
Yeah.
So, because it's always more difficult going down those stairs than going up.
Yes.
But you're right. You're right. You don't want crossing. Yeah. Oh, we were so lucky. We were 2 of 5 or 10 people in the entire chateau the other day. In the summer, it's got to be a zoo. It's got to be a nut house.
Well, it's the most visited chateau in the Southwest.
Wow.
You know, they have like 250,000 visitors from April to November.
I can see why.
Yeah.
I can see why. It was. Oh, and so the restaurant, before we wrap up on this, when we went there, it's been weird weather here.
Well, it's got a name. It's a combination of wind, sun, rain, and it changes like in a flash. It's crazy.
Yeah, like so we were sitting, all of the chairs are outside, but some of them are under the canopy. But we decided, okay, I think the rain has passed. So we move out to where it's intermittently sunny. And it really made a difference because it was around 15, 16 degrees. So with the wind, it made it chilly.
It was a little chilly.
And when the sun came out, it was great. But then more of this. It just changed.
Well, yeah. So it's called La Giboulée.
Giboulée.
Mm-hmm. And it's weather that's typical in France in March.
And we're just at the front end of April,
yeah,
so it's
continued. Yeah, it carried into April.
Yeah.
We were sitting there, and our server came out. She goes, yep, La Giboulée.
And you'd never heard that word?
I'd heard it, but I didn't really click in, you know, as to what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a weather episode that occurs.
Episode.
And that brings me to the French phrase of the day.
All right. It looks a little long, but maybe I'll be able to get some of it.
It is not long. Oh. It's barely a sentence and a quarter.
It's on to the second line. But that's long.
Okay.
Yeah.
Si de toute l'année, le pire des mois est février, méfie-toi aussi de mars et de ses giboulées.
Ay, ay, ay. Well, I'm going to have to. I'm so glad that I'm now looking at this because honestly, just orally, I'm never getting this stuff. But it really helps to look at a
copy
of it. Okay. Yep. So let me take the first thing up to February. Si de toute l'année, le pire des mois est février.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say if February is the worst month of the entire year,
mm-hmm.
and then all I'm going to say is, I don't know what méfie, I know toi, but I don't know méfie, toi,
mm-hmm.
so it's, to me, it's almost like, but then there's March and the Ghibellines.
Yeah.
No?
It's very, really close. So if in an entire year, the worst month is February, beware also of March and its Ghibellines.
Yeah, I got that first part, I think, pretty well. Just got the wrong order, but okay. And so, say, I thought that was like their...
Well, it is possessive. It's, the giboulée belongs to March.
Oh, it's March's giboulée.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
All right.
March owns the Giboulée.
All right. Okay. No, this is fun. Maybe you could go one more time en français et une autre fois en anglais, s'il vous plaît.
Si de toute l'année, le pire des mois est février, méfie-toi aussi de mars et de ses giboulées. See, and it also rhymes, so...
Okay. En anglais aussi?
Oh, en anglais. It won't rhyme in English. If throughout the year, the worst month is February, beware also of March and its giboulée.
All right, that is a very fun French phrase of the day. By the way, I encourage you to go to the Facebook page today because I took, as I mentioned, a lot of photos of this amazing...
cornucopia of visual, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, my favorite, I think you have a photo of it, is that gun that looked like a fan.
Well, yeah, that's that little machine gun I just mentioned. Yeah, that's kind of like a little machine gun, except instead of the magazine moving, all the barrels move.
Yeah,
it looks like a fan. Yeah. No, they had all kinds of really interesting stuff. And again, the way they had it set up, the time and effort that was put into the displays, just incredible. And there you are in the middle of this 12th century, castle that has seen many, many wars and
100 years war.
Yeah.
Change hands a lot of time.
Yeah.
With French, English, French.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful, huge site and was just lots of fun.
Before we go today, I just wanted to make a correction from last week. So the NHL playoffs have not started yet. There's still a few games left. And the order of who's going to play who has changed.
Oh.
So last week on the podcast, I had said that the Leafs will be losing to Boston in the first round.
Yeah.
That may not be correct. As we sit today, the Leafs will be losing to Florida in the first round.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I said that Boston will be tuning up Toronto in the first round, but I may be wrong. It may be Florida who tunes up Toronto in the first round, and off they go. For yet another
golf season.
Yeah, another golf season. They did make it to the second round last year,
okay.
but then Florida beat them 4-1 in the second round.
Okay.
And that was, I think, the first time in 16 years they won a playoff round. Anyway, enough about that. So just a correction there. It's going to be, I think it'll be Boston or Florida playing the Leafs in the first
round. Thank you for clearing that
up.
That makes
no.
a really big difference in my life.
Yeah. It's my pleasure. I'm here to help. We had so much fun in the Dordogne again. Did I say that right? Dordogne.
You did.
This week, I think we're going to head back there for a riverboat cruise of...
La Roque Gageac. You'll see why this beautiful village is one of the most visited in the region.
And we'll see you there next Friday.
Au revoir.